Do you like the WYXR archive you're listening to now? Well, we need your support to help keep it going. Go to WYXR.org and donate today.
Memphis, Tennessee.
Welcome once again to the Thacker Mountain Radio Hour. We're coming to you tonight from the historic Hal and Mal's in downtown Jackson, Mississippi. When you're feeling way down low, got no place to go, can't find a lover, can't find no friend, can't call you so and so. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Welcome to the Thacker Mountain Radio Hour. As I mentioned, we're in Jackson, Mississippi at Hal and Mal's, this very venerated and storied stage where so many great groups have played, and we are proud to be here tonight as part of the National Folk Festival. So thank you all for being here with us. We got a full house and a great show for you. We've got Tres en Punto is here. Tres en Punto, a wonderful band from Mission, Texas that will sing some beautiful Mexican tunes for you. The harmonies are out of this world. You will not believe it. Also, on the rock and roll end of things, we've got Jeffrey Broussard and the Creole Cowboys, y'all. Some of that Zydeco. We may blast off. And our author tonight is Lauren Rhodes. Lauren Rhodes, yes, I'm living right here in Jackson, Mississippi. A hometown author, a beautiful book, Split the Baby, a memoir in pieces of her growing up in a Jewish household until she decides to convert to Catholicism. Quite the story. The baby is indeed split. But we've got this full house band. We love them. They start and end every show. Y'all, please bring them to the stage. It is the Yalla Bushwhackers. Boy!
Along the ground and cover me.
Yellow Bushwhackers, y'all. Let them hear you, please. Our house band. Ricky Burkhead, Slade Lewis, Keon Love, Paul Tate, our band leader and arranger, and the beautiful voice there of Melissa Dunham. One more time for them, please. They will be back later in the show. As we mentioned, we're at Hal and Mal's tonight, right here in downtown Jackson, Mississippi. This is the 82nd National Folk Festival that will start tomorrow, first held in 1934. There will be 300-plus acts over the next 3 days. And as your mayor said, it is all absolutely free. So, and the weather looks like it's going to be nice. So State Street to Ferris Street, from Pascagoula Street to Mississippi Street. Food, international food, of course, crafts, parades, dance, and of course, music. So, and we are delighted, as I mentioned, to be a part of it to help sort of kick it off. Our first guest tonight, Tres Emputo from Mission, Texas. They play this music. It's called Trio Romantico. It's a gorgeous tradition from northern Mexico and the Rio Grande Valley, often performed by a trio, as we have here tonight, singing and playing these instruments. Their goal is to keep this music alive, and I know when you hear it, you will agree with them. It is very much worth doing that, keeping it alive. I know y'all are going to love it. Please welcome them, Tres Emputo.
Yo sé que tú quieres tu luna de miel, a mí me parece. sé que eso está bien. Un viaje a Acapulco no estaría tan mal. Allá por Tambuco, a la orilla del mar, los dos en un bote cantando al amor, esperando el brote del cálido sol. En traje de baño, solitos tú y yo, sin interrupción, amarnos los dos. Ay, qué bonito sería estar solitos así, si es como tú querías. Depende de ti, depende de ti, mi vida, depende de ti. No más con que digas que sí, mi prieta. Depende de ti. Pasaré juntitos la vida, mi amor. Depende de ti. No más depende, depende de ti. Sí, sí. Depende de ti. No más con que digas que sí, mi puchanguita, sí. Depende de ti. Ay, no más depende, depende de ti. Sí, sí. Depende de ti. Nadar en caleta y en orenos también, y en piedra cuesta querernos después. Canciones nocturnas iguales que en flor, en noche de luna dirá nuestro amor. Depende de ti, mi vida, depende de ti. No más con que digas que sí, mi puchanguita, sí. Depende de ti. Ay, no más depende, depende de ti. Sí, sí. Depende de ti.
Sí.
Depende de ti. Depende de ti. No más con que digas que sí, mi prieta santa, sí. Depende de ti. Ay, no más depende, depende de ti. Sí, sí. Depende de ti.
Thank you. Gracias, gracias.
Más a mi lado, corazón, y en el alma solo tengo soledad. Y si ya no puedo verte, porque Dios me hizo quererte para hacerme sufrir más. Siempre fuiste la razón de mi existir. Adorarte para mí fue religión. Y en tus besos yo encontraba el calor que me brindaba, el calor de tu pasión. En la historia de un amor como no hay otro igual, que me hizo comprender todo el bien, todo el mal, que le dio luz a mi vida, apagándola después. Historia de un amor. Es la historia de un amor como no hay otro igual, que me hizo comprender en todo el mal, que le dio luz a mi vida, apagándola después. historia de un amor.
Thank you very much. Muchas gracias. Thank you.
Los esperamos en el festival el día de mañana.
We're going to sing a very popular song. This song is a very international song. It's called Bésame Mucho. Maybe you know it. So if you know it, you can sing it with us. If you want to dance, go for it.
Bésame mucho, como si fuera esta noche la última vez. Bésame, bésame mucho, que tengo miedo quererte, perderte después. Quiero mirarme en tus ojos, sentirte muy cerca de mí.
Y piensa que tal vez mañana yo ya estaré lejos, muy lejos de ti.
Bésame, bésame mucho, como si fuera esta noche la última vez. Bésame, bésame mucho, que tengo miedo a quererte, perderte después.
Muy cerca de mí.
Y piensa que tal vez mañana yo ya estaré lejos, muy lejos de ti.
Bésame, bésame mucho, como si fuera esta noche la última vez. Bésame, bésame mucho, que tengo miedo a quererte, perderte después.
Thank you very much. Gracias. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Tres en puto, y'all, one more time for them. Let them hear you. Man. Great job, y'all. Thank you so much for being on the show. Remind you to check your schedule of the Folk Festival and see when Tres en puto is playing this weekend. They'll be doing a full set. We appreciate them so much. One more time for them. Wasn't that beautiful? Thank y'all. I mean, how about you wake up in the morning, put on your coffee, and instead of turning on the news, you hear that? I think it would change everything. We want to remind you that you are listening to the Thacker Mountain Radio Hour. You're hearing us on WUMS, University of Mississippi, WYXR, Community Radio in Memphis, Tennessee, WUTC, Public Radio in Chattanooga, Tennessee, the stations of Mississippi, Public Broadcasting, the stations of Alabama, Public Radio, WUOT, Community Radio in Knoxville, Tennessee, and KNCE, True Taos Radio in Taos, New Mexico. Also like to thank our sponsors for tonight, the good folks at Visit Jackson, Visit Oxford, the good folks at Hal and Mal's. How about this place, y'all? I just had a grilled catfish and a bowl of gumbo, and I'm not over it. National Folk Festival, of course, and the good folks, again, at the aforementioned Mississippi Public Broadcasting. More... Absolutely. Thank y'all. More information on how you can keep this show on the air is at our website, ThackerMountain.com. Keon Love, y'all. How about him? He is so cool. All righty. Our next guest is Lauren Rhodes, and her memoir is called Split the Baby, a memoir in pieces from Bell Point Press. And as I mentioned, it chronicles the toll of divorce and a family rupture from the perspective of a small child. You were very, very brave to write this, Lauren. It's just riveting. And she is caught between her Catholic stepfamily and her deeply sensitive Jewish mother. That's redundant, right? Deeply sensitive Jewish.
Yes, yes.
Y'all please welcome Lauren Rhodes.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here.
It's an honor to be here in my chosen hometown, so thank you.
Absolutely, yeah. Hometown. Originally from Denver, Colorado, but now you're a Jacksonian.
Exactly, for the past 12 years, yeah.
And continuing the great Jackson literature tradition with your book, I might add.
Well, you throw a stone, you hit a writer here, so yeah, it's a good place to be.
Ma'am, I'm from Oxford.
Across Mississippi, it's true.
The Uber driver has a Pulitzer up there. Alrighty, I read this book and I felt so bad for you as a child trying to please each family. And the first thing I thought was how courageous it was. And when you set out to write this, and it names your mother, your step-parents by name, your brother, it must have taken a lot of courage and a forethought to tell the story.
Yeah, you know, it was a story that I had not told for most of my life. It was something, you know, growing up Jewish and Catholic and... having a bat mitzvah and converting to Catholicism and then kind of abandoning all religion. It was a story I felt a lot of shame about. But once I started writing, it was almost like I was reclaiming my own voice, and it felt important to keep going, but also not to censor myself while I was writing, because no one was looking over my shoulder as I sat at my computer. So that was what kept me going.
And a good chunk of the book, a healthy chunk, are excerpts from a parenting journal that Lauren's mother kept. Can you imagine? She keeps a journal when you're a little child, and then when you're a grown-up, you're allowed to read it. And what that must have been like. Tell us about that journal.
Yeah, it was really surreal. So when I was 10, my brother was 7. It was a really difficult time in my parents' kind of custody battles over me and my brother. And so my mom started this journal... almost as evidence for her lawyer. She was tracking, you know, when we would refuse custody time or when there was challenges with my dad and stepmother. And so when she found out I was writing this story, she and my stepdad sent me a lot of documents, legal documents, but this was one that she kind of sent me with some trepidation, knowing that it had a lot of painful memories in it. And it was surreal reading it, because some of the things she wrote about I remembered as a 10-year-old. But I was in my early 30s, and so I related more to my mother's perspective, being closer to her age when she was writing it, than I almost did as my childhood memories. And so my mom graciously let me take excerpts from that journal and put it in the book, and then I responded to it in my own words. And I really think that made the book what it is having my mom's voice in there too.
Oh, absolutely. She very clear-eyed prose. She really, it adds so much to it. So there's your mother, and she's deeply sensitive, and as we say, she's proud of the Jewish roots, and then your dad remarries, divorces your mother, and remarries Crystal. And I'm just gonna go ahead and tell you, folks, Crystal is whack. She just is. Tell us about Crystal now that I've already soiled
sure.
everything.
Sure. Well, that's a good introduction for her. yeah. It's not her real name, but...
good.
Yeah,
good.
No offense to any Crystals out there, but...
Right.
So...
Her real name is Karen.
Could be. That felt too on the nose.
Right.
She was Catholic. She was also very I guess we would call her a narcissist. She was a narcissist. She was very appearance conscious. She liked to control the situation. And she had this idea that she would replace my mother as the mother figure in our lives. And so that is what caused a lot of the conflicts in my childhood.
Very aggressive, very yeah. large personality, and your mother felt you were. She was trying to steal you away from her, is the way.
Yeah, she
your
really
mother felt about it.
And that wasn't just paranoia. She really was trying to kind of turn me against my mother.
Yeah, yeah. Crystal has a mirror in every room, and the little detail that I really liked was she liked to open the window to let the nail glue fly out the window of her acrylic nails. That's a tell. Yeah, Crystal. And your dad sort of allowed set back while Crystal sort of got very aggressive with you and your brother.
Yeah, unfortunately he did, and I think he now regrets a lot of that, but I think he was also very taken with her. I mean, she was beautiful, she had a big personality, she was very vivacious and popular, and so I think she was someone that was, you could be easily swayed by her, and unfortunately he was, yeah.
And yourself, a little Jewish girl, you decide to become a Catholic.
Yes.
I mean, we're not talking you're in your 30s. You're like, what, 12?
I
mean,
well, no. So I had my bat mitzvah when I was 13.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then at 17, when, you know, most people are worried about going out with their friends and partying, I was studying to become a Catholic every weekend in the church basement. Yeah, and I think, you know, I was looking for belonging, and I was looking to sort of find my spiritual home and find a place where I belong, because I had felt so outside these two very different identities for so long. And so it was something that I thought this will cure everything that is wrong in my life, choosing this religious identity. And spoiler alert, it didn't.
Yeah. But I mean, you're going to these Catholic classes, RICA classes, is that what they call them?
RCIA.
RCIA
yeah.
classes. And you speak Hebrew. And, you know, you're the only Jewish person in there.
Yeah.
And it turns out your step parents are amazed that you've learned Hebrew, right? Here you are.
Yeah. I mean, I was the only Jew, I was the only kid in that class, too. And I did meet a nun in that class, and she very presciently told me, you always have to respect your Jewish roots, and you always have to respect your mother. And at that point, I remember this because I wrote it in my notebook at the time, but it just kind of flowed over me. I was like, ah, yeah, yeah, yeah. But that would come back to become a very important message.
You know, we all know, remember when we were kids, when you were a teenager, your bedroom was kind of your sanctuary, and you put up your poster, the stuff you like to have in your room, sort of told who you are. You had, of course, two bedrooms,
yeah.
both completely different, and it even got to the point where your friends, could, when they saw you coming, they could tell which parent you had been with recently because of your demeanor and even how you were dressed.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know what the term split personality meant when I was a kid, but I thought I had it. It just sounded like what I was experiencing, because I felt like a totally different person depending on which house I was at, and these houses were less than a mile apart. But they could not have been more different. And in the book, I talk about, you know, the fairy tales, the idea of the evil stepmother, and like these poor children banished to the basement. But with our family, what happened was I had one house, and then suddenly I had two houses. I had two bedrooms, two wardrobes, you know, two personalities. So it was like we had divided and then multiplied.
I was very struck and even touched in the back of the book where they have the acknowledgments, and Lauren, thanks everybody. You thank the state of Mississippi for teaching you how to have roots and dig roots.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
Well, it wasn't the government of Mississippi, I'll tell you that. It was the my community.
Hey, we got it. I don't know about the state government. We got a cool mayor right
oh,
here
no,
in Jackson.
I love, city of Jackson's totally different. But no,
yeah.
my life would be totally different had I not moved to Mississippi. I have met my community here. I met my husband here. My child is a Mississippian. And really, I think it's changed my understanding of our country and of our world. And so my creativity, my creative inspiration comes from Mississippi, and I don't think I could have written this book without being here. So yeah, it's important.
Thank
to me.
You. That is quite a testimonial. Thank you. How about that, y'all? All right. And to that point, you've even founded a magazine. It's called Rooted Magazine. It's an online journal, and it is about Mississippians and their stories.
It's right? about what it means to make a home in Mississippi. Every week, I feature an interview with a different creative Mississippi transplant, native, or expat, and their stories and why they call Mississippi home. So,
man, Rooted Magazine. So we will look for that. Yes, absolutely. Boy. Well, it is a very moving book. You will be rooting for Lauren through the whole thing. You'll be rooting against that crazy Kristen who's still alive and teaching Zoom classes out of her basement, I think.
Facts.
Yeah. And here you are, a heralded, wonderful author in a beautiful room in a beautiful state that loves creativity. It sounds like a happy ending to me. But we're not going to give away the ending. We're actually going to have Lauren read a little taste of the book, if y'all wouldn't mind. Would that be okay? Have Lauren?
Thank you.
Again, it is called Split the Baby, A Memoir in Pieces. Wonderful book. Y'all please welcome again Lauren Rhodes.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Jim.
Thank you.
Thank you. So as Jim mentioned, this chapter is one of the parenting diary chapters. And so the first piece of the chapter is the first segment I'll read is in my mother's voice, and then I will respond in my own voice. And this chapter is called Barnes & Noble because as a kid, I loved to read, and in the suburbs, Barnes & Noble was our bookstore. November 8th, 2000. Sam, that's my brother, had his soccer party in the evening, but I decided to take Lauren out to dinner and the bookstore to buy books and talk to her. In the car, I explained again to her that she is not the one to make the rules and decide where she is going to be. I told her the parenting time schedule is a court order and we all have to obey it. Lauren asked, Mom, why can't kids decide on the schedule? I again told her that she is a child and this schedule is determined by her dad and me. I told her we were all going to see a psychologist who would help us figure out what was the best arrangement. I asked her why she was doing this, taking the bus to her dad's house when she was supposed to come to my house. She said, I miss my dad, which is what she always says. Then she said that she really wanted to live with her dad and see me every other weekend. She said this was only fair because she had been seeing me for most of her life, and she felt it should be switched now. She said that if she didn't like it, then we could just go back to the way it is now. I didn't say anything at that point because I was so taken aback. The original agenda with Matt had been 50%, of which he currently has 46%. I told her I would think about it, and we would talk about it with the psychologist, but for now, we had to stick to the current schedule. I tried to control my emotions, and we went to the bookstore and out to dinner without discussing this anymore. Lauren was very friendly at the restaurant and talked about school and her friends. When we got home, Lauren received a phone call from Crystal, almost immediately. I could tell she was quizzing Lauren about what was going on, and Lauren was trying to reply surreptitiously. When Lauren told her we had gone to dinner at the Sahara, a Lebanese restaurant that is one of my favorites, I heard Lauren saying several times, no, it was really good, honest. No, Middle Eastern food is really good, Christy. I want everyone to get their fair share. I want bad people to be punished and good people to be rewarded. I want the pie to be divvied up carefully, equally. Everyone leaves with a slice. Everyone leaves happy. In school, I learned to share. At home, I learned that I am a thing to be shared, that I have to share myself. But since I cannot parcel my body into pieces, I divvy up the next best thing, my time and my love. It's only fair. My stepmother tells me, your birth mom thinks you don't have room in your heart to love more people, but guess what? You have room in your heart to love as many people as you want. There is not a finite amount of love. I believe my stepmother, though she often twists my mother's words around and around until I wonder if my mother is a bad person, unworthy of love. When my stepmother says, I love you, pumpkin, I tell her that I love her back. I believe her when she says my heart has room for everyone, that there is no need to measure it out, cut it into pieces. I imagine my heart like a hot air balloon, expanding and rising, carrying my whole family inside its basket. But when I look for evidence of that infinite love, I find not a rising balloon, but a labyrinth of partitions and corridors that lead to dark, empty rooms. In the bookstore, though, among the smell of paper and ink and the cozy green carpet, the partitions lower, the corridors widen until there are no walls at all, only stories. I run my fingers over the glossy spines of books, each containing a universe to explore. Fairness is a concept that does not exist in this place where ideas multiply like cells, where the resources are infinite. A Wrinkle in Time, Jacob Have I Loved, Hatchet, Bridge to Terabithia, Stargirl, Number the Stars, Holes. I pluck the books from their shelves, their covers bright like ripe fruits. I watch as the cashier scans each barcode, gently places each book into the plastic shopping bag. Mom opens her wallet, overflowing with receipts and cards, writes a check, and cleanly tears it off. She looks over at me with a sad smile. The problem with fairness is that you can divide and divide and divide until there is nothing left of you but crumbs. Only when you retreat into the world of imagination do you become whole again. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Lauren. Lauren Rhodes, y'all, one more time. Split the Baby. Really great job. Wonderful book. Very well written and very courageous. Again, it is from Bell Point Press. And the good folks at Lemuria have set up a table back here, and Lauren's going to join us after the show. Sign your copy of Split the Baby. Well worth it. Really wonderful. Make a great gift and a great read for you yourself. Thank you again, Lauren. Very courageous book and a great read. Yes, absolutely. Jackson, Mississippi author. Look forward to more books. Thank you. All righty. For those of you who may be new to our show, we do like to mix literature with music, and we are based in Oxford, Mississippi. We do the show every Thursday in the spring and fall. If you're in our neck of the woods, check out our website, see when we're doing the show. And we've been very successful with music and literature simply because there is so much of it everywhere. We're in Mississippi, y'all. We're right here in the South. We never run out of musicians. Between us here in Nashville, over there at Muscle Shoals, the great New Orleans, of course, y'all are here in Jackson, which I understand has quite the music scene and art scene going on. Thank you very much. So it just never runs out. As Lucy mentioned, we've been doing this show 28 years, and we're just going to keep on keeping on because there's just talent everywhere you look, including right here on this stage right now, y'all, from, let's see, Opelousas, Louisiana. Mr. Broussard plays the one-row and three-row button accordions, as well as the piano accordion, which just it just sounds heavy to me, a piano accordion, but it's not. It's got y'all have it down now. Jeff, there it is right there. Jeffrey's father's band was one of the seminal groups, Delton Broussard and the Lawtell Playboys. Jeffrey Broussard now has his band, the Creole Cowboys. Their newest release is called Boots and Bougie, and it is wonderful. Y'all, please welcome Jeffrey Broussard and the Creole Cowboys.
Mississippi. dancing in a place tomorrow. Man, this one here for you.
y'all. We're going to be looking forward to seeing y'all to that festival tomorrow. Y'all come check it out. Y'all showed us such a good time.
Jeffrey Broussard and the Creole Cowboys. One more time for them, y'all. Woo, Lord. Again, check your schedules so you will find out when Jeffrey and the guys will be playing at the National Folk Festival all weekend in beautiful downtown Jackson, Mississippi. Hey, we've had a great time here tonight, y'all. Thank you so much for having us and being a part of this wonderful weekend. We'd like to thank all of our guests one more time, if you don't mind, the beautiful Trace Unputo. Lauren Rhodes, a beautiful book, Lauren Rhodes, Split the Baby. And one more time for Jeffrey Broussard and the Creole Cowboys. Boots and Bougie. Alrighty, as I mentioned, if you're ever up our way, please come see the live show. But in the comfort of your home, you can hear Thacker Mountain Radio every weekend. Check our affiliates that I just listed earlier in the show. For y'all here in Jackson, Mississippi, it's our friends at Mississippi Public Broadcasting, Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Hope you'll tune in. In the meantime, we love y'all. We'll see you on the radio, boys.
Back in the day when I lied, we'd always fight. Now here you are fooling around out every night. And I don't have to take it anymore. And I'm tired of always keeping face, such a disgrace you were. I try it again, stay till the end, but how long? And we've been here so many times, and I know you've fed me so many.
good night.
Thacker Mountain Radio Hour's executive director is Lucy Gaines. Our production director is Tim Lee. Our broadcast and post-production engineer is Jeffrey Reed. Our front of house engineer is Blake Gardner.
Acoustic Sunday Live, now in its third decade, is proud to support WIXR and to present The Concert to Protect Our Aquifer, taking place at 7 p.m. on Sunday, December 7th at First Congo Church, located at 1000 Cooper Street. Performances by Shamika Copeland, Bobby Rush with Kenny Wayne Shepherd, James McMurtry, and more, with special guests Eric Lewis and Jimmy Davis. Tickets available at AcousticSundayLive.com.